All right, good evening, everybody. We're going to get started. I will call this meeting to order and ask you to join us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And in honor of the recent Veterans Day, I know we have Philip as an Air Force veteran here. I just saw Ed. Where do you go?
Ed's in the back.
Ed's hiding in the back.
Oh, Army and Air Force.
Yep. Anybody else?
Steve?
No? Mr. Vuthy? All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Don here. And Don,
I didn't see Don's hand.
I was right.
Oh, okay. You're in the ninja military? Just sneaking back there? Okay, I'm going to declare a quorum with all three board members present, and we'll move to the minutes from... we got one set of minutes from last month's meeting, the regular meeting. And then we've got this budget meeting... actually from the end of September, which unfortunately has a typo in it. So I'm just going to start with this one, the budget meeting. This should read 2017 budget amendments. The vote was right. The paperwork was right at the time. Julie just grabbed the wrong piece of paper, running out the door.
And read 20 copies of it.
And rather than hold this off till the end of the year, I'm just going to note that... this is actually for the 2017 budget amendments that were approved. And that was just moving the, if you remember, we had money in those special funds, the special machinery fund. We just moved that into the road fund to be able to use that. Okay, so motion on the table to, I gotta do these one at a time, to approve the September meeting minutes for the 2017 budget amendments. So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Don't forget to change.
You say aye or nay?
Aye, sorry.
Thank you.
I don't want to forget to change those and file them and PDF them.
Okay, no problem. And then the other one is the meetings from last month, the October meeting. Again, just a summary. I'm going to point out a couple things just real quick. I wasn't here for this meeting, and I would have just said something at the time. It's not a huge deal. In the clerk's report, there's a discussion about Commissioner Wajak. He called me, and he and I had a miscommunication. He mentioned that repairs would be done on the scary bridge, quote unquote. And literally for 2.5 years, Philip and I and everybody have been calling the bridge on Tewakini the scary bridge. And so that's the information that I passed on to all these guys that I had heard. It, as it says here, it's actually the bridge on 120th between Meadowlark and Indianola that is being repaired. And he said that was federal money coming, and he thinks it's slated for 2019. But Phillip's seen them out there with the engineers even recently, so they're definitely moving forward on that. And then secondly, the just above that, the Google Docs document that was mentioned, our master list, quote unquote, that really is a... internal document that is just going back and forth for communication, us keeping track of everything. That's not something that we're opening up to the public as far as, I mean, it literally is, you know, just the day-to-day, some of the minutia. So you guys hired me to micromanage these guys. We're not gonna have everybody do it.
Yeah, just to clarify.
Sure.
Both of those are scary bridges in my opinion.
I agree.
I was just wondering who prioritizes those two and how the federal funds are used.
Damn, my check does
have. Is that the township?
No, actually, all the bridges in the township are actually the county's responsibility. We kind of have a handshake deal with them that we will fix them or, you know, maintain them as well as we can. Like the scary bridge on Tewakini, we will grade across and try and keep it in shape. But as far as the actual cement, the sides, anything as far as repairs, that's in the county. And I know they do I want to say it's annually, at minimum it's every other year. They do a full comprehensive bridge analysis and replacement schedule. And they are petitioning to the Fed, like I said, to get funds. They're also scheduling out, I think they're scheduled out at least 2, 3, 4 years, which bridges around the county they're going to do.
Are they the ones that decide warning signs?
Yeah. Yeah, we can tweak them and say, hey, we're getting a bunch of phone calls about this. Obviously, they're keeping track of if there's car accidents on the bridge, that'll raise a red flag. Like I said, we can say, hey, we're getting a lot of concern, which might, you know, push them, help nudge them in a certain direction, but we don't have a ton of say in it. And we definitely don't direct it at all, unfortunately. Sure. Okay, so the minutes for last month's meeting. Motion to approve these minutes as are.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. You got your 3-0. Okay. All right, did we have any groups, organizations, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts? Nobody selling cookies though, please. We got the holidays coming up. Okay, then we'll go right into it. Treasurer's report with Katie.
I think Jeff's going to handle a lot of stuff in his report, so I'm just going to jump right into my monthly report. So the beginning bank balance for the month of October was $316,439.23. The cleared bank balance was $339,350.59. With our outstanding transactions still, we have an available balance then of $335,871.46. Details on all of that are in the following pages. If anyone has any questions, let me know.
Katie, when did we get the deposit of
$35,000? Did you say when or why?
That was, if you go just a little bit further, go one more page. And that shows a little bit more detail right there. That is our check from the county. We get 8 of them, if I remember the number right, from the county. That's where our money comes from.
I thought there was 2 yearly.
We get 2 big ones, okay. And then we get a few smaller ones. Okay. So this is one of our smaller ones.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
You got water there for $300. Is that prepaid water? Or?
Yeah.
For how long?
Till we use it up.
Which is that'll go.
Typically, we spend, I think it's like $50 a month, maybe. So it's roughly about 6 months worth of prepayment. So I try to keep our water bill and our electric bill kind of fall a little funny. So we prepay them so we don't have to worry about ever being late on those. And I just try to catch those before we run out and then just prepay on them another large amount. So. Okay. All right, moving on to the vouchers. I give all this stuff that I do. You guys don't have the vouchers because it's not an approved document yet. But I give all this stuff out to Jeff and Julie the Monday before we have our meeting, just so they can look over everything, make sure I didn't make any typos, make sure there aren't any things that I missed or anything like that. So Jeff and Julie should have a copy of the current vouchers, and I am going to move to approve them.
Okay.
A second.
Motion made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And I'll just add a quick note there just because we have some new faces. When we have our Thursday regular meeting, every Monday before that at 10 a.m., we have what we call our agenda meeting. It's actually open to the public. It's at my house if you want to come. that's when we'll go through the 3 hours of arguing how we're going to word all these little documents. That's mostly me. I'll take it. And we will, so like Katie said, that's when she'll give us copies of all the receipts from the prior month and the list of vouchers. One thing that came out of the audit from 2015 was setting up a process where I, as a trustee, double check all the vouchers against the physical receipts that we have. And so doing it on Monday gives me a couple days of, you know, there's a total, for instance, here, there was a late fee on our credit card. And I just asked about that. Katie called them up, said it was a mistake. It'll be corrected next month. So it gives us a couple days to get these things straightened away before tonight's meeting. And then I sign off on these so that we know it's been double checked by everybody.
And sometimes I just have a bad day and mistype something. They catch that usually.
Fortunately, rarely. Okay. Did you have anything else?
Nope, I think you're going to do it all.
I'm not.
Yeah, mine will be shorter than
Katie's.
Well,
considering you made this
so
little
much.
Paper, I'm pretty sure you're going to do it.
Well, that's
all
not
that.
Treasury stuff, so anyway.
That's not treasury.
Okay. Then we'll go to Julie with the clerk's report.
A lot of the stuff I would have talked about, I'm going to let Jeff talk about. We've just learned to do that. Anyway.
I don't even know what you...
I did some updating on the procedures this month on behalf of the board. I got some updates and updated some of that. I also received some desk procedures for one of the treasurer activities. I'm just letting you guys know. I did have some comments about some of the roads, but Jeff has already handled that, and he'll speak on that. Let's see. We're changing out our propane tank tomorrow. I'm sure this is all boring. So if anybody wants to come watch, you can watch with me. Let's see here. So website news, I'm going to let Jeff address that as well.
I think something happened last month when I wasn't here.
And we're changing the meeting date in December, but I'm going to let Jeff address that as well. So that's all.
I think it's a conspiracy.
We told you not to be gone for a meeting.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Okay, more to follow. Philip with the overseer's report.
October, kind of a busy month, like every month. We did get some more driveway culverts put in. We did three last month. We've actually started going back. I know on Mulberry, the mile just north of 160th, we've got several driveways that are going to need new culverts, but there's also several driveways that are, you drive in the driveway and it's sloped down, it's holding water. So we got out on Mulberry, Classen, 166, 173rd, 156, and 158th as well, and started getting all the driveways and all the additions fixed. And this is in preparation because we are going to, you know, push to start asphalting additions and stuff like that.
Millings.
So getting some of that fixed
millings.
Up.
Sorry, millings. Not asphalt.
Asphalt millings.
Don't get hopes up too high.
I was like, what?
No, we don't have that much money.
Asphalt millings.
Yes.
So in the millings that they have out here on 54, it's not the same as what was used on our roads before. These are what they call rejuvenated, so it's got new oil. It's got new material in with it, so it's going to hold up and last a lot longer than just the old stuff that you grind up and try to pack it back into the road. So
what happened to the other stuff you were talking about last month?
I'm getting there. So finish off, we did have to service PT2, the white semi that pulls the belly dump trailer, and when we service it's the normal things you guys would think of: oil, fuel, all the filters, you know, lubricants, all that stuff. Got that back up and going, got it back up to inspection compliance. Now there is one tire, passenger front, driver's side front, that's starting to wear, so that'll be coming soon, which we have to stay in. DOT specs. I did have a meeting with Burkamp and with APAC and with lots of other people over this last month. I'm still working. The material's there. Me and Jeff actually met with Burkamp and talked to the guys. $7.50 a ton. It's a mixture of a couple different things. It's got clay, it's got some sand, it's got some
gypsum,
and a little bit of rock. That's all mixed together to make this material that they use, and it's CDK is what it's called.
No, it's KFC.
Yeah.
It was close to that.
KDC.
CKD.
CKD.
You called it KFC.
Yeah. So, which $7.50 is great, but the problem is they forgot to tell me that it was in Sun City, Kansas. So, round trip, what was that? 3 hours there, 3 hours back?
Yeah. Plus loading, unloading.
Yeah.
I figured it'd be close to 7 hours.
Yeah. And so
he didn't mention that on the phone before coming over. And
yeah.
So we're trucks. Thanks, Gail. So we're trying to get to, we looked into maybe like if they're doing back hauls. They've got an Apex got a truck going out, and they just on their way back they bring us a load, but it was still 24
or 25, and he couldn't guarantee that price.
Yeah, $24-$25 a ton delivered to get it back hauled.
And as a comparison, we're currently buying, when we buy rock, the gray rock at the quarry, it's $9, $7, $8, $9, $10 depending on the fluctuation.
Yeah.
Per ton, and the reconditioned millings that we're looking at, sorry, I'm probably jumping you a little bit on that, but
yeah, you're right.
Over here are $20 a ton. So again, we're gonna find the best one.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
So it's back and forth. I've talked to them about railing it in on trains. There's no trains close enough, and the dang train, BNSF wants $30 a ton just to rail it. So, I mean, the cost is just—it's just too high right now. More to come. I mean, me and Jeff are—we're gonna keep poking and prodding until we can find something that's gonna work good for the township. I'm sure some of you guys seen that as they make gray rock, we're gonna try to grab it. It's a little bit better than cream. They do have a little bit of gray, and we were running gray today. So in some spots.
Can I ask a question about that rock?
About the gray rock?
Is that a harder, drier rock that's going to not pulverize and dust so bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a whole lot, honestly.
It's better than the cream.
Yeah, it's better than the cream, but not a whole lot. It'll last another 6 months to a year versus the cream. That cream doesn't last, but no time at all.
A month or two.
We are trying to use this cream sparingly as much as possible on the roads because we're just wasting money, is what we're doing.
Yeah.
We do use it on driveway culverts and stuff. I mean, it packs in tight, and if it's not getting a lot of traffic, it'll hold together. But the gray is where we'd like to be, but they don't make a lot of it. So, how much do you think they had? Were you getting it off the belt?
Yeah, they're making it. I mean, they had. Not a big pile, but they're just starting making it.
Yeah.
They're only going to make it for a couple of weeks, maybe a week.
And if they only make it for a week, that means it'll last for 9 days, if that. So, because as soon as people find out they got it, they're going to take it. So, but kind of same thing we do. As soon as we know they have it, we're hauling. So we kind of jump off of whatever else we're doing to start hauling around the places we need it. Okay, so not a whole lot. I mean, again, we'll address if anybody's got questions after the meeting, we'll address questions. Serviceability, everything's serviceable. We did have something that will be addressed in next month's meeting. Our John Deere tractor blew out a tire, we got it fixed. So, and then graded roads. I will speak to the grader.
So they came back out. I'm trying to get it in writing exactly what they did for their fix. I was supposed to receive it in an email today. I have not yet received it. So Jeff, as soon as tomorrow I'll call again and get on those guys and tell them I need this in writing, because I didn't understand what he said to me at all. The way it sounded was some of the valves are pressure operated, so they sense pressure. So what he did was he took some of the other valves and put like some sort of rings or something in them to divert pressure back to the other valve, so it would show that it's kind of being operated at all times, so those valves wouldn't shut off and lock up pressure. That's what I think he said. Again, until I get it in writing and I can actually look at it and try to understand what he meant, I have no idea. He explained it.
Is it working?
It's working.
Are we selling it still?
It is still for sale, yes. We got hit up by you're gonna speak to that in your
whatever. That's fine.
Okay.
We've had two bids.
Really low.
That were pretty low. We put it out at 410, 415.
410.
And we've gotten 320 and 330, I think, are the two bids. And those were over a month ago. We said go back to them. We're not. That's way too low. We're looking more in the 360, 70, 80 range. 360 would be, I don't want to do that. I think 360 is our break even as far as the amount we have financed now. And then sell that, it would end up financing the same amount. So
with their commission, their 6%
right.
that they take.
Sorry, and again, new phase, just to catch everybody up. We got a new Caterpillar grader in January of this year. We literally have been having so many problems with it that we put it up for auction 2 months ago. We have had just horrible response from Foley, our vendor, trying to fix it, not fix it, didn't want to do things not under warranty, et cetera, et cetera. We finally got the right guy at Foley. Somehow it managed this whole thing. Philip even talked to Ann Connecty, the owner. And somehow this whole thing satellited all around the regional service director, who happens to be a friend of mine. And just whatever. It just got all around. But since he's been on it, they've been out 10 times.
Yeah.
Right. Literally to the point of following Philip around while he was grading, them in a picked up truck with their laptops connected to the computer and the grader, watching everything that was going on in the grader while he was grading. And so now they've changed some tires, they've fixed some software, they've fixed a couple other internal sensors, these valves.
Yeah.
They're actually getting on it and it's been working. But so it is still for sale, but if it's gonna work, if we get our price, you know.
Yeah, if we get our price, we'll sell it. If we don't.
But
as long as Tommy Phelps stays in where he's at and we got that contact and Jeff can call him and say, we're having issues. I mean, and Tommy texts me weekly and asks me if I need anything or if anything's wrong with it. And they did. They followed me around for an entire day.
Yeah. And frankly, the longer it works, the higher our sale price goes, that we'd be willing to part with it. So that's to catch everybody up. Good.
Okay. So again, I'll get that email and get it to the board and get it explained better exactly what they did. It sounds to me like it's the normal function, I guess, maybe, but maybe not. But right now it is working. I ran it hard, very hard yesterday all day, and didn't have any issues with it at all. So, and that's all I have for me.
Phil, can you refresh my memory on from culverts? You said you talked about replacing culverts on driveways.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the owner's responsibility, or is that your guys' responsibility?
Depends. if it's a new house, the owner pays for the first one, and then we maintain it for the life of the house. If it's a second driveway, the owner pays for it initially, and then we maintain it.
What if the owner damages it?
So far, we haven't had too big an issue with that. It's been
if it did, do we have that?
I actually don't think it hasn't happened, so we haven't had it in writing, I guess.
Well, we did some sort of
We've had small little damage, but we haven't had...
I thought we had something in there for that, but I don't remember.
We did something on a culvert, but I don't remember what exactly it is off the top of my head.
Okay.
So I would have to research.
Yeah. Okay. Typically a culvert install between culvert rock, what we bill for, we just bill at cost, is culvert, the rock, to surround the culvert, the driveway rock, the larger rock on the ends, and then these guys' time. Typically a driveway is about $700 as far as billable. And we build out one in 15, one in 16, and we've had four in 17 now. So.
Okay, so if on an existing house,
mm-hmm.
the culverts are your responsibilities.
Correct? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. If we had records that, and see, that's part of the deal. We don't know if those were ever paid to the township or if the owner put them in themselves 20 years ago. At this point, we just said we don't know, so we're just going to fix them. It's your guys' tax money, so we're just going to fix them. I didn't know how else to, we had no clue how else to do it. We kind of thought about, but there's just literally no records to find out how it was done in the past.
Is that a written policy in the township?
It is, and I, it is. I got to think where. Sorry. We do have a sheet. Well, okay. So if a new house is going in, they have to apply to the county. We get a notice from the county for a culvert request. So that's an official piece of paper. And then we have our own that they sign as well. I don't think it's written anywhere as a policy quite yet, but it's a practice that we have already. And it's an official piece of paper, yes.
It's in the policy book, the procedures book. There is something in there, but I don't think it says anything about other than use culverts we don't charge for, or the ones that are existing.
Okay.
New culverts we do.
All right, well, we jot that down then. We're in the process of totally redoing the P&P manual, so we'll put a star on that one to double check. Just another quick note on what Philip was talking about with the rock. I don't know if you guys mentioned this last month. The quarry, there's a couple things going on. Butler County is exploring putting another quarry in south of Augusta on Highway 77. Southwest Butler Quarry here on Santa Fe Lake Road is anticipating about 7-year lifespan. And then they'll be done. They'll be up against their borders. They don't own any land around where they are, and that they'll just be done quarrying, blasting rock. So just something we're keeping an eye on and looking for an alternative. To that note, and talking about Philip saying, you know, been slow to buy rock this year because all they've had is the cream versus the gray. We allocated $160,000 budget for rock, and year to date we've spent $75,000 because we haven't been able to get gray. Also because the grader's been having such issues. I was trying to figure out why we got a big chunk of cash, and we've hardly been running the grader because of the issues, so we haven't run fuel, and hardly buying rock because they haven't had gray rock. So we're gonna have some extra money, so in the next couple months we'll be able to contract some other trucks coming in. I know there's Severy is next close quarry, so we'll have some funds that we can get some rock in from some other places, so we're gonna look into that. Okay. Do you have anything else?
Nope.
Okay. All right.
Let me get a pillow.
No, you guys covered most of this. I always just write down my list and make sure you guys cover them.
So I'm going to throw something in real quick. Let's look around. It looks like June 9th, 2016. We had something in some culvert stuff about writing, adopting a new culvert policy.
What do you mean? In a meeting we had that? What are you saying?
Yeah, I pulled up a clerk's log that I found. So June 9th. Motion to write, adopt new culvert policy. So let's look back there.
I think that's when we added the culvert.
It's probably in the P&P.
So.
Okay.
Interact.
Okay. let's see. Sorry, cover that. Okay. Let's see. I guess the big announcement is December 11th for these December meeting changes. We're going to have a special meeting on Monday, December 11th, 6:30 p.m., and that's at the Rose Hill Senior Center down on Silk Knitter or 180th. The auditors are going to present their findings for our 2016 audit, and then we will, like it says on here, approve our vouchers for November, so we're not waiting too far into the month. And we might have another another issue or two there that we'll conduct in that meeting, just small things. But we're going to publish this in the paper so that we'll publish exactly what we're talking about when we do a special meeting like that. The next one down, the December 21st, would be our normal meeting, just like tonight. We're going to reschedule that to the 28th, the following Thursday. Typically, at the end of the year, Katie calls all of our vendors. She gets all of our outstanding balances so that rather than waiting into the first of the year and paying our bills from December, we try and get them all before the end of the year so that we can go forward with zero balances going into the next year.
And it has stuff to do with the annual report that I've got to turn in and everything. It just
makes
has to
it
do
so
with
much
government
cleaner
stuff.
And so much right. easier. Because if we have unpaid bills, we have to list it all, and it's just...
You can list a lot of zeros instead of
yeah.
pluses, minuses, pluses, minuses. And then also that also allows us to know exactly how much funds we have at the end of the year, where we can put them into the special equipment fund, which is just a budgetary move at the county level so that we can use those funds next year. So the regular meeting next month will be here in the same room. It'll just be moved 1 week later on the 28th. let's see, one of the things that came up with the auditors, a goofy little procedure thing. Back in November of 16, we first started talking about adjusting our board's pay. And at the time, the board was getting $250 a month each, being paid for $150 for the engineers meeting up in El Dorado, $50 for the budget meeting up in El Dorado, and then being paid mileage for driving around the township. So we started talking about it in November, notified, and we made a decision, a resolution in December, that we were just going to go to straight pay, make it $400 a month, which was commensurate with a couple of the other townships with the same size budget that we had, and not pay for mileage, not pay for the special meetings, not have all the other stuff, just flat rate. And we did put in stipulations that you had to make X amount of meetings per year. What we found out was that there was a special form that was supposed to be published in the newspaper before we actually did that, and so that's come out in the audit. They're going to talk about that next month on the 11th. Speaking with the auditor, he said that it's happened in the past. It's kind of a little oversight. He obviously knows we didn't hide anything. We were upfront about it. We just didn't have the exact procedure down. In the past, he's one of the remedies has been he writes a letter to the county attorney, explain what happened, and it's never been a big deal. But just to be open and upfront about it, again, open meetings, open records, that's going to go on. They're going to bring it up, and it's just going to be, it'll be handled. We'll do whatever the auditor says we need to do. If we need to publish it now, if we need to write a letter to the attorney, we'll get it taken care of. Excuse me. Let's see. Phil covered that.
It's just all that's too cheap to publish it.
That's part of it. Probably. All right. One of the things we're looking at for next month, and this is one of the things that might come up on the 11th, is we're going to get Philip a township phone. And this is going to be a tough one for me to bring up, because I know that it's probably going to rub people the wrong way. But I hope, just hear me out with an open mind, please. Philip's cell phone number has gotten out and around and spread around. And I totally understand on one level, everybody wants to be able to talk to the overseer, wants to talk about their roads, talk about what's going on, ask him questions. Yeah, that part makes sense. The other half of that, though, he's getting way too many phone calls now. It's to the point of 12, 15, 20 calls a day. And we would rather have him on the roads, fixing the roads in the grader. I know he can't talk on the phone when he's in the grader, because, or at least he tells me.
I can't. It's Bluetooth.
He tells me he can't talk to me on the grader. So what I'm going to ask is, I'll put my number again up here. I've been taking the road calls for the most part up till now, and I'm going to please ask you guys to do that again. That also gives us the board. It allows us to also oversee Philip in that if stuff's going directly to him, frankly, I don't, and I'm not worried about this at all, but it could get hidden. We may not know of a problem, you know, say a problem happens three times, but he's taking care of it, but then we don't know it's an ongoing thing. So we appreciate calls to me, and I know that in the past I haven't been the greatest. I'm not going to go into that. I promise it'll get much better. We've set up a couple different systems, and yeah, it's going to be better.
And literally, if you can't get a hold of Jeff, you can call Katie or you can call myself, because we're going to send an email to Jeff right away anyway. So right. If you can't get a hold of him, don't think it's not going to go there, because we can do that for you.
Yeah, and the website itself has a contact us function at the back, which allows you to send an email as well. And again, for those new faces, that's Pleasant Township, BUCO, like Butler County, BUCO.org. And that's all spelled out, no spaces. Pleasant Township, BUCO, sorry, .org.
And it's written out in the minutes.
Sorry, .com, yeah. .org. It is both of them. We'll go there.
Yeah.
It started out.
If you put .com, it will go to .org.
It goes there. All right. Let's see.
And if you leave a voicemail message on my phone, I will get it. I will transfer it to Jeff. It just means that I'm working at the moment and can't answer.
So he doesn't have a township phone right now?
No.
He's been using his personal phone.
Superstar, team player.
Actually, not that I'm patting our back, but no, we don't have any township phones right now.
The township has had a phone in the past. What? The township has paid for a phone in the past.
I thought you all three had township phones.
No. These are our personal phones that we're using.
Are you out of your tree?
The separate number that I have is just a phone that I bought to have as a separate phone.
Yeah, and this phone too.
So yeah, yes,
I know there used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, before you, used to be. Uh-huh.
That's correct.
But that was under an individual's name. That was never under the township.
And then before that, well, the township paid the bill. And then before that, Rick had one phone. So.
It's in the past.
Yeah, it's just in the past.
Okay. Let's see. Also, the big giant culvert on 180th that got installed, and it's still a bit of a hump. I'm going to apologize for that. That's there was some miscommunication there between Philip and I. I thought that he understood that it was a priority to... let me back up another step. In order to get a bunch of the rock for that, we're clearing out one of the ditches up on 130th that has a bunch of rock that has washed into it from all the rains we had. Rather than buy new rock, we're going to take it out of there. In order to do that, we got to have that ditch flagged by Kansas One Call, and then dig it out with the excavator and get that. I understood that it was a priority, and then I had given Phil like 3-4, like he said, these driveway culverts that have come up, and he thought that meant, hey, prioritize these driveway culverts. So all of a sudden we were talking about this meeting, and he said, oh, we might get some calls about 180th. I go, I thought that was done. So I apologize. My miscommunication. I apologize on that. So
it has been flagged, though.
It's been flagged.
Or,
it's in process.
It's been called in.
Called in. Sorry. That's right. So that's gonna get built back up, so it's not a speed bump in the middle of 180th, or a speed mountain, as it were. Okay, go to our items of business. The first one. All right. When these guys started, we said we were going to offer health insurance to them. Philip, being Air Force, has kept his Air Force insurance, it being really good. So when we first hired him, we said we'd just bump his salary a smidge to pay those premiums, or to help pay those premiums. We didn't cover the whole thing. At the time when Richard started, we got him a township policy where we were paying part of it and he was paying part of it. Frankly, over the last 2 years,
it's jumped up.
Yeah, his premium, let's see, he came on in August of 15. By the end of 15, the premiums with Blue Cross went up 12%. In 16, they went up 26% from there. And in 2017, they went up 27% from there. I'm trying really hard to not make a political statement about that. So the policy ran out at the end of August this year. We made the decision that Richard's just going to go on to the individual exchange, Sean as well. And from August to present, he's had just a separate his own policy with the township not being involved in it. For December 1st, we're going to start compensating Richard again for part of that health insurance policy. In Obamacare, it literally says you cannot reimburse for health insurance premiums. So like we have a car allowance on your paycheck stub, you're not allowed to have a health insurance premiums allowance. So our accountant said that we just need to put it into his salary. So he was, the previous amount was $300 net. We grossed that up, so it's just over $4,000 for the year. So this first item of business is to adjust his salary up $4,000 so that we get back to the exact same level we were paying on his health insurance premiums before, on a net basis. So moved. I'll call that my motion.
That was a very long
motion. You don't have to put it in the minutes that way.
I'll second it.
All right, motion made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, and then the second one is the cell phone for Philip, the overseer. Julie has talked to the three major carriers. I talked to an offshoot carrier called Patriot Mobile. They use the Sprint towers. We just kind of got that information this week as far as the actual plan, amounts, minutes, features, et cetera. So rather than jam this into the end of the year, we're going to vote on it tonight. And then the range of plans that we saw were $40 to, did you say 80?
And, for government.
And it is a government, those three, the three major carriers have government plans. Patriot is just a discount reseller.
You can only get calls, you can't make any calls.
No, the other way around. You can only make them. So rest assured, we're going to pick a very frugal plan with just a couple little things. Figure out the features you actually need, not the ones you want, and get a cheap plan.
And check in the cancellation fees and all that.
Could you guys look at doing some sort of phone number instead that would then forward to your cell phones now? So he can still continue, so he doesn't have to carry around two, or you guys carry around two cell phones. Just have a phone number that would forward the call to whatever number you guys wanted to. So, you know, if somebody leaves or gets ousted from the position, then
right.
It could just be easily just changed and transferred.
Do we want all of those?
I was going to say, I may not have explained it right before in that we want to get him a new phone so that he has a number that people don't know, that the citizens don't know. That we can call him, that he can use it to call vendors, that you know he can use it to conduct business on, but that it's not the phone number that's gotten out now, and so he's not answering an hour and a half of phone calls a day.
He's got to change his phone number.
No. So what's going to happen is I'm going to turn off my phone during the day. Okay, during the day, my cell phone will be turned off, and I'll be carrying township phone. then when I get home off work at night, I put my phone on, and I've got 15 missed calls, and I got to call all these people back that I don't know who they are.
Right.
And talk for an hour and a half.
So how is that changing by having your own cell phone number?
It's doing it on my time and not, you know, now I'm on my personal time and not on township time.
Well, and you were, that was personal phone calls anyway.
My only concern about that is that I would predict we've done things like that in business before, and about a year from now, there'll be people that have that number.
Yeah, we'll change it.
I know, I'm trying to figure out, you know.
I think having a number that you can control where it goes to.
Right.
We've used forwarding numbers, and it works fairly well. In fact, you could have it forward to you, have it forward to you. You know, you can choose at any given time where it's going to.
Okay, I'm open to that.
So how does that work? I guess I'm confused. What number would you forward? So I would create a
776
number.
So let's just say you get an 800 number.
Okay.
800 Pleasant.
Philip.
Okay.
Okay, and then at that point in time, you can tell it to route to any phone number you want.
Yeah,
so it's like a landline.
But he's saying specifically, specifically, how do we solve the problem?
Yeah.
You solve the problem that he doesn't get called anymore?
Well, I mean, besides, you could just turn his phone off, yeah. But
well, I mean, he's going to have to. If everybody knows his personal phone number now,
mm-hmm.
the only thing he can do to resolve it is get a new phone number.
True.
Yeah,
really?
Let me throw out an idea.
Sure.
Put a message on your phone for that number that this is no longer the township number.
And call.
That's good.
And they'll just hang up. They'll give up. They may leave a message, and you may have to delete it. But unless it comes in from this township number.
Have you met all these stubborn farmers like Gail back there?
I probably. Just a few will tell you.
Or Gail's relative.
Yeah.
Well, your phone is stubborn now.
I pointed to Gail, not you. You're the Marion. You're the nicest guy I've ever met. It's just Gail.
Understanding maybe the people in this room, but that number that you're talking about listed on the website.
Yep.
And becomes the township number, and you have complete control over where that goes.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Everybody has the board's numbers already, but they don't want to talk to the board because they don't know that it's getting right back to me. So who are you going to talk to? If you know that I'm going to do the work, are you going to call him or are you going to call me directly? They're going to call me before they call any of them if they have my number, which...
Your number hasn't been publicized and it's out there. So
and of course,
you're screwed.
If you remember last meeting, just come by the shop anytime.
I was about to address that.
But
or call me.
A year from now, you're right back at the same problem with that number. So unless you're willing to try to switch numbers all the time, at least with a forwarding number, you control where it goes.
I call forwarding is very easy too because I have it on my home phone and I just forward it. It's just a few numbers that you dial, and it's totally controllable.
Right, but...
So do we forward all of Philip's personal phone calls?
Yeah. It's
No, he still has his personal phone.
With a message.
With a message that says, this is no longer the township number.
You'll have to let it go to the voicemail every call he gets.
Well, he's going to know which one he wants to pick up.
He doesn't know, that's the problem.
If he's in the greeter, he can answer it anyway.
Well, that's the other
option is get caller ID on my phone again, which is $2.99 through Verizon. Get caller ID on my phone.
Okay, GP.
So, I am.
Well, I'll tell you what. Do that then. Put a message on your phone and direct him to my number.
I can't put a message on my phone, Jeff. And you know the reason why.
If it's township. You can't say if it's township. All right, we can talk about it. All right. So how do we address this then? Part of why we wanted to do it tonight too is what Julie said was it takes 10 days to order the phone. So then we started doing, from our 28th meeting, just trying to move deadlines to keep it within this year. Tell you what, I'll table this tonight, and this may show up again at the December 11th meeting, but let's both put notes that we would have to publish that in the paper.
Well, and the phone would be a good idea for the data and stuff like that.
Well, and that was a discussion to see what features you needed on it.
Well, I mean, like I said, I use.
I start off saying no data.
Yeah, well,
he
that's
did.
Fine,
he
but,
did.
Well, I mean, because you have
then
to.
When I got to call vendors and I don't have their numbers or whatnot,
I know,
and I've got to Google it, then,
I know.
You know, I'll just drive back to the shop and get my personal phone. And
or the township laptop.
That doesn't have Wi-Fi.
That you have.
Because the phone he's carrying doesn't have
yes.
hotspot.
I use my, so in order to get all these documents and us to communicate back and forth, I have to turn my cell phone, my personal phone, into a Wi-Fi hotspot. But the problem is you can't do that in the township shop at all. So I've got to take my phone and I got to go stick it in the middle of the lot outside. And then I got to open the big door and then I can walk in and get on my laptop.
The township shop is some sort of
It's in a dead zone. It's in a dead zone. It really either that or the metal building itself.
We even got a
booster. It works for 3G, but only for Richard's phone. It doesn't work for mine.
So we got to get you a phone like Richard has.
Or just tell everybody to call Richard.
There we go.
Bring it.
Sold.
That's an idea.
Okay, so I'm going to table the number two. We will do some more looking. I'll talk to you more about that number. Sorry, 2 seconds. But just aware that might show up on the December
11th. Does the shop have landline capabilities?
Do they still bury lines out there?
I think it has landline, but it doesn't have their, what's their fast internet? I can't.
Yes.
Well, no, they'd have to have regular.
You mean just doing a landline phone?
Yeah.
Dial up?
It's possible.
AOL? No.
But there again.
Yeah. No.
But there again, we don't want him calling him directly. We want him.
Well, I think that's an answer machine. Or.
Well, I think he's talking about the internet on the...
No, he was talking about the phone.
I'm just keeping track of what you have to add to that 11th meeting.
Okay. Why are we adding Peter?
So that when
okay.
the transition
well, sorry. We'll talk about
happens...
That. We don't know if he's going to be ready.
There's ones that control our website.
Okay. Where are we? All right, that was it. We are to open floor for questions, anything like that, comments. Again, new faces. What we do is everybody gets 3 minutes. If you go around the room, that gives everybody a chance. We'll answer any questions you got. If you want to go more than 3 minutes, we'll come right back around and we'll stay here as long as you got questions. All right? So anybody?
Just have to state your name and address.
Yeah, correct. Because I haven't met a lot of you, some of you, sorry. And I know this sounds really weird, but there have been people that don't actually live in the township that want to come complain about it. And it's kind of like, well, you don't pay taxes here, so why am I listening to you? So so the floor is yours if anybody's got anything.
Steve Wheeler, 171st Street.
Okay.
I'd like to know the process for listing the issue.
Listing the issue?
When somebody calls you or you get a request in here, how is it recorded, approved, scheduled, and so forth? Because a lot of these things just die.
Some do, and again, that is totally on me. Part of the phone issue has been I've created my own problem. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. It's been a horrible year. So I have not put the time and effort into the township that I should have. So people have started calling Philip directly. But that, like I said, going forward, that'll totally change. That Google Doc that I talked about, we've established a master list that is on, it's on the internet, so it's open for all of us to see. And it has multiple tabs, probably 14 different areas of accounting, phone calls, citizens, culverts, roads, equipment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so when we get a call, if it's a particular, what we're going to call a ticket item, which is requires action, it'll go on that list. If it's a citizen call, I have a separate one that's just for citizen calls, and that's Philip and I are looking at that, and that's really a gauge of where the temperature of the township is, for lack of a better word. Like, is there a certain area where we're getting a bunch of calls that area is particularly bad right now? Because for instance, we've got the heavy rain, all of a sudden we'll get 4 calls about one road within a couple of days. So we know that road is, you know, obviously very bad. So we have 2 lists that are like I said, on the internet and available for us to work on.
How can the residents see where that's at?
I'm sorry?
How do the residents with the concern see where the issue is at?
They don't. And I know that that has come up in the past as far as, I'll be honest, that's one we wrestle with. Citizens wanting to know where it is on the list. We're able to schedule a lot of things. We're not able to schedule everything. And part of it is just that, again, with the rains, with traffic changes, with, we get one rain and this particular culvert won't plug. The next rain we get, it does plug. It just seems like everything is happening so dynamically and changing so much, it's hard to give people a concrete answer and say, we will be there 3 weeks from Tuesday. I guess the vaguest I've been able to say is it's moving up the list, it's in the top 10, it's, yes, I talked to you last week and we weren't able to get to you because of X, Y, and Z. The grader went down for 5 days in a row. You know, how do I say, oh, we will be there on Wednesday to grade, and then literally can't even get the machine to move till the next Tuesday. Unfortunately, there have been just a bunch of crud like that.
Can I add something?
Sure.
Now, as far as records, if you're wanting records or like agendas or past minutes or maybe some project identification as a current project, you might want to take a look at the website. Jeff does all the updating to that. But it does have minutes on there from the past and agendas and so forth. So if you're looking to where maybe something happened in the past, that's where you might be able to find it. Or you can send me an email and I'll be glad to look for you. I have a log that pretty much tracks a little summary of every meeting.
And
that'll help.
About more issue, more road, day-to-day road stuff.
Well, there's a serious accident on the corner there of Rosewood, I guess it is, a classroom a few months back.
Rosewood.
Three high school kids, one of them that railroad crossed real fast.
Okay.
Apparently didn't know that there was a right turn at the bottom.
Oof.
And landed in my field. Glass and plastic and everything's still there. But at the time, I met with Jim, the fire chief. He was there on the scene. And he requested a right turn sign to be put in before, on the west side of that railroad crossing.
Okay.
Where is that one at?
Do you know who he requested it from?
Well,
this board.
Okay. Number one, and I hate to say it like this to pass it off, but all road signs like that are the county's responsibility. And you want to talk about a headache for us. We don't have any control over the speed limit signs, or the permanent speed limit signs or traffic signs. Again, kind of in a handshake deal, we will go out and change a stop sign here or there that gets knocked over or gets shot with a shotgun. We'll do a few of them because they can't get to everything fast enough. Rather than have it be gone for 3 weeks, we'll go do a few of them here and there. But specifically, or technically, I guess, all those road signs are the county's responsibility. Now, that one in particular, I do believe.
I ordered them.
You did order those, and they are. You talked to Road
they
Safe.
They should have been in today. I didn't call them today, but yeah.
Okay.
Everything should have been in today.
Because we had a couple dead end signs that we had followed up on too. So here's a perfect example. I think we ordered 4 or 6 signs to the tune of $400.
$85 a piece or something like that. $65 a piece or $85 a piece or something like that. I did order them for that curve exactly that you're talking about after, I know Jim had talked with Katie a couple days ago and called you and and he spoke with me as well about that exact curve. So those signs are on order. As soon as I get them, and I did have 20 mile an hour signs put underneath them so that they know that there's a curve coming ahead and it's only 20 mile an hour.
Okay, so just to make sure I understand this, it's the county's responsibility.
Yep.
But we just paid for them.
Yep.
Yes, it's a safety issue.
To be...
will be reimbursed.
No.
No, probably not.
If they have the sign over there at the Augusta shop or the El Dorado shop, they will give us the sign.
Yeah.
But you're talking specialty signs.
Yeah, and they don't have any of
that. Right turn sign?
Well,
to them,
it's a right, you know, because it's an S curve. I mean, and that sign does show this.
Oh, okay.
And shows the S. And so I've got one going right. Oh, I've got two going right, two going left, because obviously that next curve past you, where it turns into Friends right there and goes back to 171st, is just as dangerous.
Okay, so
and
I'm
we hang
sure.
on, hang on. We and we, I thought that through too. I went probably right where your head is about the, who's spending the money and why is it ours. And partly what I thought of was, if the county isn't spending the money on the signs, then they're not raising the taxes to cover the expense of those signs. So in my mind, it either you're either going to get taxed from the township or from the county for all these signs that need to be put out there. And I know that's not an exact science, but
pretty easy.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Honestly, it's a little bit of a handshake. We'll be neighbors. We'll spend a few $100 here or there and not make a giant stink out of it. In the interest of safety and expedience and getting it fixed. And,
okay.
You know.
So now I'm going to be a jerk. If you guys are willing to spend, wouldn't have it any other way. I know. If you guys are willing to spend our tax money to buy signs, then you guys need to fix our railroads. Fix the holes. And the bumps in the road.
Federal law keeps us from doing anything with those.
Unfortunately, she is absolutely right. The railroad company will not even allow me. I did fix one. They had a full crew of 8 guys come stand over us to watch us, and they made us use their material.
Well, then get and call back out and come out to Prairie Creek, because it's ridiculous.
Is it the one that by your house?
I have gotten my own rock before and filled in those holes.
La, la, la.
No, I mean, I don't care. I mean, and I've called them 3 times.
And it's a safety issue, and you give them the track number, and you do
the,
all
the
that.
The best thing I could advise you to do then is to get 5, 6, 7, 10, 12 neighbors that also go right over those tracks.
You have to threaten suit.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Have everybody call. Have everybody raise a stink.
We had a problem on Indianola.
Yep.
Okay, and Philip had called them multiple times. I just called them one time, and I guess they were tired of hearing from us because they came right out and fixed it.
I have a friend that works for the railroad. That's what he does, and he works in this area, and I can't call him directly to get anything done.
Can I have his phone number?
No, you can't either. You can call that. You call that number on the crossing.
That's what I've done. I've done
He's
it 3
called
times.
3 times.
Yeah. I'm following the rules.
Okay. Well,
Philip is going to get revenge on his friend.
He calls that number and it call forwards to a voicemail somewhere.
Call that number and send me an email, and I will call them as well, for the township.
I called on the last railroad tracks 3 times myself. I called my buddy twice. I called his boss 4 times. I had Julie call I just tore up my car. I'm going to have an alignment. Who do I need to send the bill to? And they were out
that. That's why I couldn't figure out why Philip's calling me the next morning. What did you say to those people? Because they came out right away.
So here's what we can offer as a service as the board here. Give us that little number that's on that crossing.
We got it memorized. We know it.
No, not the phone.
I got a picture of it on my phone.
Okay. Well, the phone number and the crossing number, right?
Yeah.
And we'll just set it up where every other day one of us will call them and raise a stink.
Really, Michael, that's about all we can offer you to do. But I'll call them again if you'll send me an email.
Well, and the reason that they won't allow us is it is dangerous. I did try to take someone off 170th, and I will be honest, I almost got hit by a damn train in the motor grader. So,
well, that's on
the one that's for sale.
Okay, they're not exactly small, man. That's on you.
No, there's a curve coming in, and before that track comes up,
Phillip.
And those things only hit at like 120 yards or something like that before the lights go off.
22 seconds.
Yeah.
Remember this motor grader we're talking about that will break down on
22 seconds at 2 miles an hour.
When the lights go on, you have 22 seconds.
And I was already
and hang on, and you know you can go. Is that You're leaving your driveway?
No.
You
got to
be getting. I know, that's what I'm saying. I know you have a time. So this is, you're getting in your car and you can still make it?
No.
You're coming out the, you're coming out the door with coffee and can still make it.
That would be illegal, Jeff. That would be unsafe. I would never do something like that.
And you live there how long?
I was going to say, yeah. I'm betting all four wheels are not on the ground.
And it's 15 feet, right, from the center?
No, it's, what was it, 25.
25 feet from center?
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that's irritating is that the plate, one of the plates is loose, and it pops.
Yeah. Right.
And, and one of the bolts, the lag bolts, comes up every once in a while.
And that's
if
what
I
we...
If I ruin my tire, then we're going
to
have
And we need
problem.
To report that, because they will come out.
Thank you.
Well, just send me an email and I'll call them.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, now Katie had a really good point. We just sat here and talked about the issues with the grader dying and not running. That's the one you're in front of the strain.
No,
of
the grader. This is the first one. This is like month 2 on the job.
Okay.
Month 2 on the job. Yeah.
He was trying to get a new grader
there. Apparently.
It's a little bit early.
It said they had to replace lights on their little thing that came down.
Oh, because you
knocked them off, every one of them.
Did they at least fix the problems while they were out there?
No.
No.
I'll watch them fix them. Okay, anybody else?
Yes, sir.
I have another one, but I'll wait my turn.
Okay.
I'm Don Williams. Our address is 16328 Southwest 123rd. And I'm here really recommending the entire, kind of for the whole neighborhood.
Okay.
I want to preface something before I read this, and I've got a copy of this for each of you. Our neighborhood, we've discussed this before. There's been quite a few calls made. And this last time when it was graded, it was dry.
Yep.
The dust problem is literally dangerous to the point that you can't follow somebody at under 200 or 300 feet behind them and even see the road. When somebody's driving in front of you. And I'm talking about them driving 10, 12 mile an hour. It's just really, really bad at this point. So the whole neighborhood kind of got up in arms. So to the trustees of Pleasant Township, we the residents of Mockingbird Meadows, let me preface one other thing. I have a reference in here to improper grading. I'm going to reference that because I made 3 calls. I did, for quite a while, talk to 2 people that build roads and do things like that. And this idea of 2-pass grading, there's just no way you can maintain a crown in a road. Well, they say there is if you're amazing at it. Mm-hmm. But in general, 2 passes will not maintain a crown.
Agreed.
In fact, what it does is build up dams along the outside of the road.
Agreed.
And runs the water down the road. So that's what this is about.
Which
we
don't,
resident, excuse me.
Sorry, just briefly, we don't advocate 2-pass grading. So I'm not, I know Philip does 3. And
I haven't seen 3 on our road.
Okay. And it all depends on the width of the roads. Your guys' roads are, what is that? That's 18 feet?
I don't know. They're fairly wide.
They're wide. They're big.
I think those are only like 19, 18 or 19.
I think
we have some of the widest roads of any of the developments.
Yeah.
Where you're on
120th and
120th, Mockingbird. So Blazing Meadows, Mockingbird.
Right.
Valley View.
No.
Valley View.
Yeah. Blazing Meadows is
that's
ours.
Separate.
Okay, yeah.
Ours is Mockingbird and
Valley View, and then
123rd.
Okay.
Okay. We're frustrated with the deterioration of the roads. Currently, the roads are so dusty it literally is dangerous for both vehicles and pedestrians walking down the road. Somebody goes by. I mean, if they go by at a crawl, you can't breathe. The lack of crown and shoulders is built up with improper grading to cause rainwater to run down the road. The sides of the road are actually getting washouts and crossing where the water crosses, potholes and softening of the road base. Our first request is that the crown be restored to the road. Now, we had crown about 4 years ago because I had honestly harped at Rick for so long that he finally put crowns back on the road. I grew up on roads like this. I've been in the grader. I know what this could be done. You know, a few years ago, they had proper crown drainage and excess dust were not major issues. Improper grading has created this situation. We realize the process of restoring our roads will make them maybe seem worse for a little while, but we'd like to achieve the desired crown of the road.
Okay.
Our second request concerns the extreme amount of dust we are now experiencing. This has never been this bad. There must be some change that can be made to alleviate at least a portion of the dust. The material on the road surface is base limestone. which I'm gonna interject here, not any kind of top material. There hasn't been any top material put on there for at least 5 years.
And what do you mean? You mean sand?
I'm talking about something hard, something that doesn't pulverize and turn into dust. There aren't a lot. I understand sand's not a great option. Right. They were sand roads the first 10 years. I've been there 35 years. The first 10 years I lived, they were sand roads. They were maintained. They were built as sand roads. Jim Donaldson built them. They had crown. We had almost no problem, except there is a little loose sand that pushes around a little bit. But I'd a lot rather have loose sand and deal with that than I would to deal with dust that you literally can't see or drive.
I understand that.
Okay?
Right.
Most recent grading, it says in your deal the 23rd, we had it down as the 25th, and it literally put us in the worst dust that we ever had. And I realize we've had a lack of moisture, which contributed to grading.
Yeah. Well, we had several phone calls about that road having potholes.
Yeah, and the one worst washout, there's still potholes right now, and the worst washout that we had is maybe a half to two-thirds filled in, but it's still there,
yeah.
So it's going to be right back out. Proper surface material needs to be applied to start building the roads, reduce the dust, and restore safety to our neighborhood. What we as a neighborhood would like to see is, we'd like to see the township board come out and with us look at our roads and talk about what can be done and why we're where we are. I mentioned PFAS grading. What that creates, in my opinion, every time, and when I grew up, we pulled them to the middle, we crowned them out. Okay?
Agreed.
Now what we've got is they're being pushed to this side, and there's a little ridge of sand or whatever loose material there is along this side. Next time through, two passes, it's a ridge along this side.
No, that's okay. I can speak to that. That's not how we grade, myself or Richard, and we're the only ones that grade. So when we grade, we'll come in, and this side of the blade is always up. So this side of the blade is always up 4 to 6 inches. This side of the blade's down. We'll pull this side. So all that material stays up the center of the road. And then we come down the other side, and we do the same thing. And then if too much is built up in the middle, which a lot of times it is, sometimes I've got to make four passes. Like on 130th, I've got a four pass out every time. I will have to come back down and bring that center. We don't ever leave that blade like this and drag it from one side to the other.
Well, there are. You
what about
are on the part of the worst?
Yeah, Mockingbird.
And what we see repeatedly is, or I would say, what came off the tailings off the blade. Building up along the edge of the road, am I right? I mean, is that what we're experiencing?
We did.
What we've got now is
we did have
a road that's almost perfectly flat, and then we have a little bump on each side.
Secondary shoulder.
Well, what that's from is, so what happens is, you know, and Richard, I've explained to him and some other people. So if you take a like this and you shove down like this, okay, if we're keeping this side up and we shove this side down, what happens? This side digs down and it digs too far. Or you're going to have to scoot way out in the ditch and start pulling in the ditch. But if you will take the motor grader blade and cradle it out to this side. So that hole, here's your center part. You cradle the blade out to this side. So now your cradle's here, your machine's here. So here's your machine, now my cradle's out here. Okay, then when you do that, you take your front tires and you lean them out. Okay, then you articulate your machine so your front tires are here, and your machine's now faced like this. Then you take your blade over here, okay, and you extend it this way. So now your machine is walking down the road like this, and that'll keep that from happening.
Well then, why do we have, I'd say a 2 to 4 inch crown along both sides of the road?
Because I haven't got back over there and fixed it yet, that is why.
Well, but I've been calling about this for 2 years. We spoke at length once,
yep.
And by the way, the last four calls I've left for you, you have not called back, returned a call, which doesn't always set well.
I understand, so, and I'll just apologize you a bit. One of our phone calls where I got the 20-minute grading lesson, that one pissed me off, frankly, and that, I'll just be honest, I apologize that I just didn't.
So why did it piss you off? Was I wrong about how it should be graded?
That you assume that we didn't know what we were doing. Because there were other, and I,
I'll tell you what I assumed. Let me clear that up.
Okay. And that's what I'm saying.
What I've heard is directives from someplace above to save money and doing a two-pass process.
No, no, absolutely not.
It's not. Okay. And like I said, I apologize. I handled it poorly. I'm apologizing to you to your face. I handled it poorly. Okay. We did have an issue with a previous employee that was not following our instructions on grading. I don't know if that was part of this issue. I'm not going to blame it on him. I just know that it was an issue within the township. I don't know your specific road.
Yeah, he normally graded that with one pass.
Let me ask you,
one more thing.
All right.
Just one. And then, so as we talk about those secondary shoulders, which we know, our goal is a crown, 4% grade, about a foot or two of shoulder, and then a 3-5 foot ditch. That's the goal we're working towards. And with the crowned road, hard and slick. So either chip sealing, milling, something.
The neighborhoods, that is something
we're going to come to that. The secondary ditch like that can also be created, not just from grading, but also your material getting pounded down. Mm-hmm. Right.
I understand. And also, so, I understand vehicles push it to the outside.
Right.
In fact, trying to mow down the edge of mine where that crown is now, I have to raise my deck up because there's so much rock in it.
Yeah.
That I really, you know, I have to pop it up a couple places just to be able to go down the edge of the road.
Right.
And I have to do that
and
myself.
We've been hesitant, like you said, to put the blade all the way out on that secondary ditch and
especially in people's yards, because I'll get 19 phone calls.
It's either people's yards or that all the organic material that's in there, right, then creates a problem on the road.
I know the organic material creates a problem, but right, there is quite a bit of rock in it too.
I agree.
But I'll ask you this: then, if we can cut those crowns off and get those secondary crowns off and get those roads drained, if I get signed off from everybody in the neighborhood that they'll accept the fact that you're going to pull them off their yard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we have almost every signature on here, and I think there'd be some willingness to go along with that.
Okay.
We've looked into a disc for the front of the grader, even, to break that up a little bit.
Along the side, you mean?
Yeah.
The disc could be set to pull it back in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's called a reclaimer.
Called a reclaimer. We have, because we have this issue. This isn't the only area, I promise you. It's all over the town.
No, actually, we drove the other developments up and down Rosehill Road, and they're all the same except that we just happen to have wider roads, which sadly almost makes it worse.
Except the
ones that
are paved. Yeah, exactly.
One last thing to address there, because if you guys are addressing this and you'll keep in touch with us and work with us, we got a neighborhood that'll work with people.
Okay.
But we also got a neighborhood that's getting pretty upset.
I understand.
Because of where we've gone. We've got over on Valley View, there are some serious drainage problems with culverts.
Okay.
I don't know if they were put in properly when they were built. I know not every owner, they went to buy a smaller tube because it's cheaper. I'm blessed. I live on the crown of a hill. It runs both ways. No water goes through my culvert.
Yep.
But we have on Valley View would be third residence down from 120, from 123rd.
On the east side?
The east side.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Where we got a crossover tube there, apparently, and I don't see it, but apparently, because I never use that road. But the water runs into people's yards, backs up in people's yards, and all that there. So those culverts, I don't know if they just need cleaned. I don't know if they're put improperly. I've looked at them. But I do know that that's a problem that we really heard about as we were talking about this.
Right.
That there's a real drainage problem over there.
Yeah, I have seen it. I've driven every single road in this entire township in our flooding conditions, even last year when we were getting those 15 inches of rain and 10 inches of rain. I was in those areas. Me and Jeff actually went out and filmed a bunch of those areas that were having a lot of issues. But the problem is we've got 30 years of neglect in this township. 30 years.
In the ditches.
In the ditches, in the culverts, in the roads, across the entire township. We have roughly, 80 miles?
70.
70 miles. That's a lot. A lot to take on. So yes, this is an issue, I promise you. It has been talked. Me and Jeff have talked about your specific road, your issue. We are looking at millings going down in all the neighborhoods. But in order to put millings down, the road's gotta be there and the ditch has gotta be there. I have to go in and look and see, okay, what is closest to being ready to get millings down, what's furthest away.
personally, I hate your guys' addition. I hate everything about it because it's on the opposite side.
Except for highway.
I don't like pulling out 120th.
With the grader that dies a lot.
Yeah. Pulling out and, going across Butler Road or pulling out on 120th, I never know if we're going to make it or not.
We can't do it in a car anymore. Seriously.
So, I fully understand where we're at as a different location.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that I believe I know most of our neighborhood. In fact, we're having a neighborhood watch meeting on Sunday to kind of discuss what went on here.
Okay.
We do have a good neighborhood that stays together, works together. Most of us have been there several years.
Yeah.
So if we see
that we have signed,
if we see that there's beans,
there's a few people that we couldn't catch.
I don't think you get a lot of impatience. I would really like to have something that would pull this dust down a little bit, though. It's just unsafe.
It really is. We've got a lot of walkers in our neighborhood, a lot of dogs, kids on bicycles.
Plus now the kids, the school is making them stand at the corners and wait on the school bus.
Sure.
So now it's not as dark.
Right.
You've got people going to work. I mean, there's 44 houses in our 2 miles of road.
Do they not come down the road all the way? Or what's the purpose of standing at the
corner? They can congregate at a corner in the middle of the
right before you get down to that little turnaround. They all have to stand out there. And, I mean, it's dark, it's dusty, there's people are leaving for work.
There's not a lot, unfortunately, for dust that I can do.
Until you put something on top that is.
Well, and if this kind of helps on a money figure, when we were talking about, because we were actually just discussing this as together just this past Monday, we were talking about over $700,000.
To do what?
In the additions, trying to address these issues.
Figuring out putting asphalt millings in every addition was roughly between $700,000 and $900,000. Our annual budget is $5 million.
That's the dishes to get our
and so
when we do bring up the money side of it, as far as the last 2 years, I think 3 to 4 times a year we've had the grader in our neighborhood. Is that pretty accurate? I think it's general.
I can tell you an exact number, yes.
Yeah, but I think that's really at least no more than that.
Normally, okay. If I do county line, I'm not wasting a trip to be all the way up off county line and 120th, whether you needed it or not, I was going to come grade.
Well, it's always needed.
Yeah.
Okay. You get a lot of traffic.
I would just say this. Yeah. Over the last 2 years, this is the ballpark number, I would say our neighborhood has paid $30,000 in taxes to the township.
Okay.
Okay. If we've been graded 8 times, and I'm gonna say $100 an hour operating on the grader, and I'll give it 2 hours, so you got plenty of time. That's $1,600 in services for $30,000 in taxes over the last 2 years.
And how much in rock?
Nothing.
No. Oh yes, I just went and added new rock to every addition this last year. Absolutely.
How much rock?
I could give you exact numbers, but I put gray rock.
But no rock.
I put gray rock on every one of those additions.
Okay, we have.
I just don't remember anything new on the road.
Yeah. So you remember what's the
okay?
Valid use of
hang on.
One, what's
hang
the
on.
One?
Hang on.
I mean, I don't. Point. Know.
Point.
I'm just saying
no. That's
rock.
Fine.
I'm just saying that and this is a problem.
Point being is that it doesn't seem like enough to you guys, obviously.
Well.
Even if we did say we put some rock on there.
Sure.
I understand it doesn't seem like the road's been let go. It takes work to get them back.
Yeah.
But honestly, probably 5 years ago, they got some ground on our roads and we weren't having the drainage problems and we weren't having the dust problems. I think what may have been added, if you added something there, and I won't, dispute because I didn't keep records, you probably do, but it's been minimal. And what it's been is a friend of mine with one of the road building companies here in town or in the area said that the rock that comes out of that quarry is
soft.
Gone.
I'll guarantee every rock that
terrible.
We put down is probably gone.
It's
but,
terrible.
I mean,
but it's also very soft rock. It's rock that absorbs moisture and breaks up very quickly. There are similar materials that are much drier and will hold up a lot longer, but they still, none of them are really meant to be on top.
Right.
They're base rock.
Right. Yep.
And so, what's gone on has ended up just creating a bigger dust problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so if...
Is there anything you want to add from the road?
Okay.
Rest our concerns about the road.
Well, and I will apologize to you guys directly too, that I didn't have a great interaction with Don, and it was totally on me.
Well, and I got, every time I get into your neighborhood anymore, I get flipped off at least two or three times, but...
Are you serious?
Be glad it's just us that came.
We were the calmer ones. We convinced them to let us.
If I could say something, because I live in a neighborhood, Hall Valley, there's very narrow roads. I'm in Hall Valley too, okay? So we have some neighbors that want this paved road, and, you know, the big thing about it is that we're not paying, if you look at your taxes on what you are paying the township, it's not that much, and if you do want paved roads, you can go get them. You can go get them, because there was people in our neighborhood that wanted those paved roads, and they went up to Butler County, and for the money, you guys can get whatever you want. You don't have to live on a dirt road if you don't want.
If it were up to me, we'd had paved roads a long time ago, and we would have paid the specials and gone on.
Yeah, it's easy to do. You just go up there, you tell them, you get all your neighbors to sign.
It's easy to do if everybody agrees, but that's the problem. Not everybody agrees.
Well, see, that's the deal. So for the money that you're getting,
I know.
I understand what you're saying, because it would probably be at least $1,200 a year or $1,500 a year for specials. I understand what you're saying. But what I'm saying is we are paying, as a neighborhood, about $15,000 a year, and our roads are not getting better. They're getting worse than they were.
So and I don't wanna... what you're trying to do then is just say, okay, well, my neighborhood's paying this, so you need to spend $30,000 on me, because that's what we're paying in. And then the other neighborhood, but I'm just saying, from a neighborhood, from a person who's sitting in here listening to you, I'm thinking, okay, we all know if you live on dirt roads, it's going to be dusty.
Well,
that's what I have.
Madonna, don't.
It's just, you know, I don't understand today how many people don't want dust when I live on a dirt road myself. So if I lived on a pavement, it'd be different.
How many houses are around you?
Exactly. I mean, you live on a dead end road in that area.
It's not dead end. It's a U.
It has 10 houses?
It's got more than 10 houses, but it's a U.
All right, ladies. All right, hang on. Well, let's not go too far down the weeds here.
And you're right. Our roads are similar.
Okay.
But there wasn't a big cloud of dust behind my car as I drove down your road. You drive down our road.
Okay.
You can't see anybody behind
you. Yeah.
I don't want to. Okay, LaDonna, we're done.
I've lived on roads for 70 years. I know what dirt roads feel like.
But I'm just saying, if you don't like it, you can go pay that money. And I listened to what she said about safety.
Hey. All right, we're done.
For kids, and it's like, you can do that.
Okay. I don't want to split hairs. I honestly want to respect your concerns, and I want to. We're going to act on this, okay? Absolutely going to act on this. When you mention your tax number, though, is that township taxes or county taxes?
Township taxes. I've got 3 years here.
All right. That's all. Just clarification. Yeah. Okay.
Basically multiplied to the number of households. I mean, it's an estimate.
Agreed. I understand.
Really, what we're asking is just for first
row. Totally understand. So then all of this being said, to that note, one of the other things on the list. What Philip just did, Clara Street off of Butler Road, it's roughly
143rd-ish.
It's on the east side, if you want to go take a look at it. We got asphalt millings from the plant over here at Santa Fe Lake Road in Kellogg. And that's our first road as our test road.
And it was put in, rolled.
You already addressed that there's a big difference in millings.
Yes.
That was some of the calls I made.
Yes. Right. It's a small.
Millings that have some oil in them.
Yes.
Yeah. So or these.
Small section of road.
Redone stuff. Yeah. I got the wrong word.
Yeah. It's asphalt millings, but they are reconditioned or rejuvenated.
What did you think of it?
It stops dust completely.
Yeah.
For me.
Is that something you have to
use
it to my ears?
No. Yeah. You can't re-oil it.
$20.
You gotta.
Time, so yes.
You put more millings over it over time, but hopefully it would last a couple of years. See the when we look at, when we've been researching on the millings, and this is through the federal level, and Kansas State has a road department as well where they do research, millings are really good for low volume and low speed. And so that's why we started looking at doing those in the neighborhoods. And frankly, if we can get all the neighborhoods done, it frees up funds and time, effort for the main roads. So.
And we picked that road because it was a small one, and we just wanted to test before we went and put something down on a bigger road, and it didn't work. And
especially on a busy road.
Because I just really want to add this, because a couple of years ago, they were putting down a lot of millings, and they were... We had lots of problems.
Well, you can just say they were $3-a-ton millings.
They were very... oh, my gosh. They required a water truck almost every day. Almost, you know, it seemed like that. No, they were asphalt millings, but they were just a different quality. And, you know, the point is of having the finer ones is that they're kind of like reconditioned, and they have oil that's pressed back into them. So it's going to make their life longer. And but I completely understand where you're at. The dust has always been a problem to me too. So
we've lived with the dust for all these years. It's just that now the level of dust is just
right. I understand.
And that's why we are looking at these. And it, I would encourage you to drive by that section, if you could. It's over in Noose's Edition. You know where Noose's Edition is.
What are you talking about?
Clara.
The Clara.
Oh, Clara.
Clara.
What's the Clara is the north south. Is it
Clara and then 141st?
141st is the turn off of Butler Road. Yep. It's on the east side of Butler Road.
Yeah. And which we haven't got that little 141st all the way to the intersection yet.
You'll see it.
Yeah. Okay. But you'll see what's been done.
It literally has been the last 2 days.
Yeah, it's a. But we're trying to address these problems. Okay. Like yours.
Well, you guys are inheriting some long term things.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
All right. All right, anybody else? Oh, right. Jim, you said, yeah.
Yeah. you know my name and number.
Sure. I'm going to interrupt 2 seconds. And frankly, as we go forward, Michael, we don't need to ask your name. You don't need to say your name and address every time you come. I mean, you guys that have been here, when I have new faces, especially because I like to meet you guys, I may ask for your name and address. But no, you don't have to do it every time. Please.
The same corner of Rosewood and Classen.
Yep.
As a culvert that's diagonal, 45 across the curve instead of either 90 on one side or the other.
Yep.
It's crushed. There's a big hole in it. If a kid sticks a tire in there, you can go blow it out and end over end or whatever. And I'm sure this has been talked about in this meeting, and I'd like to know where that issue's at.
Okay. We've discussed a couple different options there about. And frankly, we just haven't made a decision on which one to do. Do we put in two oversized culverts to really alleviate water flow from the interior corner to the exterior corner? We've talked about sloping that whole curve to the outside, actually, not having it a banked curve where cars could speed up, but sloping it the other way, which would, number one, slow cars down, and number two, that's called sheet draining. So you wouldn't have a culvert, you just sheet drain everything off that side. And you don't dig the ditch out in the inside corner. You just have the whole thing. It all goes the same way. So I'll be honest, we've talked about several different things and just haven't gotten to
that. Softening those curves, moving the road, that was the county that wanted to do that.
That's true. Straightening the curve, basically, instead of making 290s, kind of, you know, gentling out the S, I guess, if you'd say. Frankly, we just haven't. It hadn't been a priority. We had there's the chip seal project, et cetera. And,
I think you've done a great job, all of you. I know how hard work it must be.
I appreciate that.
This to all of us.
What did I tell you the other day? This is the one job in my life I've hated.
On the other hand, I do think that we need some kind of a prioritization system that would say, okay, these are life-threatening things.
Right.
I appreciate the dust. I got the same problem.
That's a fair point. I agree. When safety is an issue.
There is bare metal. I did see that last time I came through on that end. There's bare metal, and it's got a hole in the culvert.
Okay.
So
that just moved up the list.
Yeah, it is definitely a safety deal.
Okay.
But that's something that You know, I planned on coming out and speaking to you and getting the county. You know, I know me and you have talked before about it. So that's something we're going to have to get the county involved in. So let's do it right the first time. Let's not just go put a temporary Band-Aid on it. Let's fix it right, whatever that option is. So
I did talk to that guy that owns that land again. He's willing to work with you, but he's really upset because he's called
on the inside corner?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's his
is
name?
It
Maynard
Anderson. Maynard Anderson, that's right. Okay.
And he's upset because he's called the board about trying to get the ditch cleaned out and so forth and nothing happened. So I invited him tonight.
Oh, he called me back and thanked me when we mowed and cleaned out this last time.
You ought to see it now.
Okay.
And you ought to talk to him now. You don't want to hear what I got.
But if you don't come to the meetings and you don't contact us, we really appreciate it when you do.
We'll get the mower back out then.
Thank you.
Sure. Shoot, I just thought of something. Oh. Didn't you mention you do commercial LED lighting?
Yes.
Okay, we'd like to talk to you about that, about our shop.
Okay.
We've been looking into lights for the shop, and we've got fluorescent bulbs that hum and go out, and as you know. So let's put that on the list.
Okay.
That was on my to-do list. All right, anybody else got anything? Okay, appreciate it. I'll call it adjourned. Same seeds. Same seeds. The seeds, same. What's that?
Is that my list of people that came?
I'm sorry?
I have that. Which one? Attendee list.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
I don't have the biggest problem with the dust. I think it's. I've lived all my life on the
Hey, it worked the whole time. Always a plus.
Oh, I know, lady, from flying me down, ripped me up one side or the other, making all the dust off. You know, we didn't have a funeral all day, every day. And I twice on a weekend to church and ball games. Otherwise, I go out the other way.
He sure is a nice pen. It's not like those squatty, ugly blue things you bought.
Oh, don't worry, I've got like a million different varieties of pens.
Hard writing. Those blue ones are so hard to write.
And it just looks on my carpet. I know, I call them both up and told them they were one.
Is this how everything was set up? Is this how stuff was set up?
Actually, there was a couple of chairs over here on the other side, but I didn't want anybody sitting there. I figured we'd have some company than we did, if you know what I mean.
My problem is, I think we have plenty of company.
No, I mean front row.
How crazy.
Particular.
But not all of them.
That didn't show tonight.
Are you rolling from whereabouts?
I'll try not to spin this all in one place.
Well, okay. Yeah, my mom was from that area. Dollar cup stuff anymore? Yeah. I'm just now selling family farm.
Hey, it might cover up those things like that. I don't know.
I went to Scooters the other day, and I was surprised it was only $2.15 for a large with cream and vanilla. And it was this big.
I need to go get kids.
Luckily, Kevin didn't work today.
I love
You got a free day?
Yeah, all day. Didn't have to. Well, I did have to. The little girl had a blowout yesterday at daycare, so I ended up taking all her stuff home and washing it after I ran it through the toilet. So I had to take that up there, but I didn't have to babysit it. But tomorrow, I do. For a while. And Saturday night? Yes. Half a day Saturday? Yes. At least till 6 on Sunday? Yes. I have no life.
What do you think I have?
Well, your kids are older. At least they're potty trained. Mine can't wipe, fix their own meals, or bathe. You know?
Yeah, well, it takes mine 30 minutes to get a shirt on, apparently.
Oh, yeah, there is that. I have to lay these things out. They're
I miss seeing it.
But you know what? They're sweet little kids. And I'm so glad. You know what? I went to daycare.
My son got burned. He decided to make breakfast this morning for himself. He got burned on the stove from splattering grease. And he's not wearing a shirt. I'm like, dude, ow. How many times have I told you to put a shirt on? You wear your stupid shirt. Now go get it on.
Eyes are just scarred. Manly scars.
Manly scars. And I know he's in puberty. Oh, it's all over right now.
Do you need scrap paper?
Every misprint that I have made goes into a container, and my son was having fun burning all the papers.
Oh, yeah.
I also throw any important papers that I don't want anyone to get their hands on, but I need to destroy. I will throw it in there.
I burn them. Do you have a burn barrel?
I have a fireplace. No. So it all goes in there. My son was having fun just burning all the papers out of the container. He's like, Mom, you need to add more. Burn it out.
Darn it, there's nothing in it. I don't want to stack too much, but I'll stack this and this. That'll do it. I'll go spin that. I'll go spin that chair. I should have had you wait so you didn't have to write such a little check, but it's okay. Appreciate it.
Even with the legs, they mess that up.
See you, Dawn.
All right.
It's sold.
I'm going.
You're the keeper of the flag?
Apparently, the only thing we had here was a little tiny one. Apparently, they're keeping the flag back there in that room. What's that scale?
I got my appointment.
Yeah. For both or one?
Just one.
Chicken. You should do both. You'll hate yourself. You will not want to do the second one.
No.
Just like, I need this other shoulder done, and I don't want to do it. Well, I can't.
No, the doctor will. They took the expert, you know, and this. They took the x-ray. The doctor's going to do that. Just
need to come back. I don't know. He said it doesn't pop a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Better get them now. They'll only get them.
Quite frankly, whatever you say. Hey, it's
a serious. Now, some of them are better than others. Where we live, what kind of materials? And we don't need it because we're at the top of the hill. So I feel sorry because the way we go out, we all have to, and we're all just going farther and farther into the ditch to drive around that gully.
I'd love to see chips, but I can't.
I need to drive it. Well, yeah. We're going to have to make some sort of. Houston?
Well, all came down some.
See, I didn't go near.
I went back online to the article. So at least we're building up some.
Yeah, you have to do what you
and
do.
And we'll have some money to see other things.
A lot of people are going to take me off other things.
So I was a little defensive.
We've just got some safe. Really do that, especially with the school kids out there standing in the road. The school thing, there's six or eight kids standing there, and the dust is rolling, and it's at a T intersection where they stand. So, and I realize on you, and I can't believe they're not, you know, a little bit more. You're getting flipped off. Well, we have a proximity pleasure right now. Oh, I remember those.
You know, they grow up from little ones to teenagers.
Well, I remember those days.
Not that I would ever speak myself. Thanks, LaDonna. Nice to meet you.
This is an old man. He was really nice. And then the next time, you know, his neighbor two doors down.
Okay, so what's your job?
I'd be glad to hear.
This is over in Valley View. An operator. Maybe he lives over there.
Okay. Well, he gets all correct, right?
There you go. See, there's some compensation to that.
In fact, there's our women's headquarters and all that.
Well, I'm sorry, and your name is Richard. Hi, Richard. I assume you. Nice to meet you.
I don't know. It might be the next one.
I bet it's the next one.
Well, and these are most of your highways will be 5 years.
Oh, it'd be. Yeah.
Okay. Because they'll last that long.
Yeah. Well, you can just grade Mockingbird anytime you want.
Because, well, see, in Mockingbird, yeah. I don't know if you guys remember that huge hole that was always there. Every time it rained, there was a huge mud hole right at the end of.
Yes.
Okay, so it was shortly after that that we came and we dumped new gravel all the way down into that new, that little circle down there, all the way down 123rd, and then all the way down that way. We dumped all new gravel, but it was gray rock.
Okay, right.
And well, there? You had something to talk to last year. We did every edition last year.
And it was early last year.
Why?
When should it sound?
Is that when they dropped it in front of your driveway?
No, that was Gage was in the sixth grade. He graduated college, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I came home from work on Friday. It was huge.
They were pretty good.
I couldn't get my driveway. I had to go through the ditch to get my house. And it was Friday. She went four-wheeling on your own lawn. And I thought, it's Friday. Nobody's going to be coming to get this wrong.
I would have, I heart beat, I'd have had a nice gravel driveway. I would have been the first one to grab it. And all the buildings, I got that. We used to run the manufactured cup. It's a faded gray paint color, because I'd love to be able to. And all the roofs have the same color now because of the hailstorm a few years ago. We actually have matching roofs.
Yeah,
all of our roofs match now. We got that in buildings with different roofs.
Yeah, finally after the hailstorm, I can't remember what I mean. Everything you guys have talked, I know what I've got on. I don't remember how much. My, so what I wanted to do is I wanted to get all those out.
So what's the furthest? I don't even know exactly where it runs to.
Dad does.
Honestly.
What's the site? Where's the township?
So you do Blazing Meadows too?
Yeah,
that's the township.
Okay.
We go all the way up to county line. So county line is 120th. Yep, it's just 159th. And we go from.
So 120th is the end of the.
Yep, all the way to
100. Oh, so we're way at the corner.
You're in the farthest corner.
We're only farther. Blazing Meadows is
right in there. Our county line, we only do 3 miles of county line, which we do. You know, from 120th down to 150th county line.
Oh, okay.
Those 3 miles. And then Gibson Township has the next 3 miles of county line. And then we go from, so 120th all the way down to 180th. which is
50th is 47th Street.
Stoke Netter, which is the post office in Rose Hill. Down to that road, back out to County Line, and then go all the way out to Santa Fe Lake.
Let's go to lunch and talk.
Let me ask you something. If we get 100% of our neighborhoods to agree to those grounds, if secondary grounds taken off. Well, that's not organic material, like the center, and I understand that'll take a few times to break down.
How do we?
But if we get everybody to sign off. We get shoulders to it. Well, I guess we have our work cut out for us, because we got, literally, the only people, the only people that didn't sign this, were the people we could find problems.
Well, here's the thing. Eventually, it's gonna happen no matter what, whether if people are or not, because I do have a right of way, and that is my right of way. And it has to be down the lower one.
Right, and that's why we asked for the crown first, was to get the road back with the crown.
Exactly what would happen. I'd come in, and I would either with a grader just rip them and bring them to the center, or if I can get this, you know, just this reclaimer, I can come in and actually break it up and then it just go fast.
I thought they used to have.
We did, but.
Yeah, Rick had a reclaimer when he made some.
And with the old administration, they got it, or I don't know if you guys got that, but.
I went back in and read some of the articles in the paper.
Well, and yeah, we had, I mean, a lot of hundreds of thousands of dollars for the projects out and everything, and we had to sell off.
And there was no oversight, there was no,
So most of our.
So we have money now.
When he's talking about the reclaimer goes on the front of that hill, and then they can set it. So if you have one, one way, you have a one way work. That's what you need, the whole one way.
Full line tractor.
Voicemail, I just called the number back.
No.